I'd like to preach tonight on this subject. I've got the papers to prove it. I've got the papers to prove it. We know that Nehemiah, here's a very familiar passage of Scripture. I've heard a lot of series on Nehemiah and revival messages about Nehemiah. If the people only had a mind to work, and what a great message and series that is. But if you aren't familiar with the story of Nehemiah, we know Nehemiah was in exile. He was under a rule of Artaxerxes. He was actually his cupbearer, as we find in the last verse of Nehemiah chapter 1. It was his job to taste the food, to taste the wine, to taste the drink before it got to the king. And if anything was poison, bye-bye Nehemiah, and the king lived on forever. So he held a very respectable position, because he could have, at any point in time, have planted poison into the food, into the wine, where it could have killed the king. So he was very trusted. And we know that, we read from Scripture that probably every day Nehemiah had happiness in his heart and joy in his heart. But this day, whenever he came into the king noticed something different about him. And we noticed that Nehemiah had a burden. Nehemiah came and said, "Listen, king, the city is in disarray. The gates are burned with fire. The walls are down. I need to go and rebuild the city." And more than that, not only is the city in disarray, but the people, my people, are in disarray. It's like the writer said, they're like a sheep without a shepherd. And that's exactly the way the children of Israel were. And so we see Nehemiah with the burden. But then you notice he had a battle, because we know that as he was going to rebuild the walls, that Sanballat and Tobiah and the enemies of the children of Israel would come after him and try to get him to come off the wall and try to fight them and destroy what God had purposed in his heart. So we know that he had a burden. We know that he was going to face a battle. But then he had to rebuild all these walls. And what a great burden it was. What a great task it was to try to complete what God had purposed in his heart. But aren't you glad that for the burden and for the battle and for the building, that the king always knows what to give in times of need? And just like Nehemiah, we're in the same situation this evening. We are in a tremendous burden. I don't know about you, but I've never seen a church world today that is more burdened than the times that we live in right now. I am sure if we had an uplifted hand tonight, most of us tonight came down here this week with a burden on our hearts and on our minds. We got family that's unsaved. We got spouses that are unsaved. We got children that are going in disarray. We've got problems here, problems there, church problems, these kind of problems, all kinds of burdens that weigh us down. And then we face battles. I'm telling you, the children of God are facing battles every day like I've never seen before. I preached down in Sefner, Florida. The enemy's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the devil's working overtime. He's trying to do anything he can using the tools that he's always used to try to battle the children of God. But then the building is such a constant battle and a burden, because we're constantly trying to win people to Christ, and all these things encompass us. But aren't you glad that when we go to the king knows exactly what to give us? And so Nehemiah said, "If it please the king," oh, I feel the Lord tonight, "if it please the king, let me go and rebuild the city." He said, "Moreover, if I could, just let me have some letters that I can take with me." Because you see, Nehemiah just couldn't walk out of the city and go back to Jerusalem by himself. He needed some authority. He needed some backing. And so he said, "King, if I want to do what God has purposed in my heart, I'm going to have some letters." And so the king said, "I would be happy to write you some letters." And so aren't you glad tonight that for the burden, thank God the king gave him assurance, because everywhere the papers went, the presence of the king went. Everywhere that Nehemiah carried those papers, thank God it was sealed with the seal of Artaxerxes. He said, "I have a right to come in here because I have the papers to prove it." And aren't you glad that for the burden that God has placed in our hearts, thank God we have assurance that wherever the papers go, glory to God, thank God His presence will be with us. Didn't the papers tell us tonight that He'll be with us? He'll never leave us or forsake us. I'll be with you all the way till tomorrow. I'll be with you till next week.
I'll be with you till next month. I'll be with you till your next battle. No, He said, I'll be with you all the way to the end of the world. You say, Brian, can God's presence be with me wherever He is? Oh, yeah, God is everywhere. So if you have Him in your heart and you've got the papers in your heart, thank God, no matter wherever you go, God's presence can be with you. You say, Brian, can God give me assurance for the burden that I've got in my life? Oh, yes, He can. You say, Brian, how can He do it? I've got the papers to prove it. I don't know about you, but I've been burned down the past few months and the past few years. But thank God, just in time, on time, every time, God comes with the papers and says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He also says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. He said, I'll be with you. And for the burden, He gives us assurance, the presence of the King. But for the battle, God gives us an arsenal. That shows us the power of the King. You'll read in verse 9, it says, then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the King's letters. Now the King had sent captains of the army and the horsemen with me. Because the King knew that this battle he was going to face, he was going to face the enemy as he was on his way to Jerusalem to fulfill the purpose that God had instilled in his heart. But thank God the King sent him an arsenal and said, Nehemiah, you ain't going to have to worry about one thing. I'm the King and His army is going to fight your battles for you. Hallelujah! Aren't you glad tonight for the battles of life? God gives us an arsenal. What is that arsenal? 2 Corinthians 10:3-4 says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war with the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Romans 8:37 also says, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I love this. 2 Timothy 1:7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. I'm glad tonight we don't have to be sissies in the background. When God is with us, we can stick our chest out and say, devil, you can throw anything you want to be, but thank God I've got the power of God with me. We have a gentleman in our church, and he's one everyone should have. Wish we had about 100 like him. His name's Tim Mitchell. But Tim Mitchell is just an old-fashioned shouter. Everywhere he goes, he takes the Lord with him. Don't take much for Tim Mitchell to get blessed. His hands will start shaking, his leg will start shaking. All of a sudden you hear, woo! Thank you, Lord! The boy's had a share of battles over the years. Last couple of weeks, he works as a welder, and he's one of the best welders and one of the best tool builders and one of the best truck builders that we have in our area. Everyone goes to him from all over the country. And he was trying to cut some axles off of a trailer, off a semi-trailer. And he was under that in between the wheels and started to cut the axles off that trailer, and he didn't know it, but there was some sand and water and gravel, and there was a load in that trailer. Normally there's not a load, but there happened to be at this point. So when he cut that trailer started to fall upon him. We have some that are here tonight that was there that day that happened. And it came down on his pelvis area and down and crushed him. And he survived, and he had enough of the power of God on him to call someone for help. And when the call came and we were scared to death. See, just before this, Tim just took a running fit at church, see, on Sunday. And on Monday, here he is down. The devil trying to defeat him and take his shout. He said, if I ain't going to take it from him, if I ain't going to get him down, I'm going to kill him. But the devil had it wrong. So, here he is. They got him out, and it was a miracle. He didn't die. It was a miracle. He wasn't paralyzed. No broken bones whatsoever. It actually had separated the pelvis. And so they took him to the hospital, and of course he was bruised and battered from the waist down. He was in such terrible pain. A few days after he was in the hospital, he heard a big pop, jumped about 2 inches off the bed, and after we had prayed that night in church, that pelvis just came right back together. Yeah. So I talked to him today. He said, Brian, he said, I walked today. He said, I walked. He's been walking. I said, do you use your walker? He said, no, I just carried my walker. He said, I walked out to my mailbox and back. I walked down to my bridge and back. I walked all over outside and back, carried my walker around saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Went to the doctor yesterday. The doctor said, Tim, you're doing so well. You ain't going to have any physical therapy whatsoever. Oh, and my mind went to what I was going to preach tonight, and I got to this second point. I said, Lord, let me live long enough to tell those people that the devil may try to steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm glad what the Word of God says, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Aren't you glad tonight that when the devil tries to battle us, thank God with the battles comes the arsenal and the power of God. Well, that was the introduction. Let me get to the message tonight. For the burden He gave him, He gave him assurance. For the battle, He gave him an arsenal. But for the building, He gave him approval. Because God had purposed in His heart. But see, He had to have approval of the king to do it. And the approval came in the letters. He had to have approval for the service that God had entrusted him with. You say, what was the service? The service of God for Nehemiah was to rebuild the walls. But see, Nehemiah couldn't just leave where he was at and go back to Jerusalem. See, he had to pass through so many different countries. But he said, King, if you'll just give me these letters, that I may convey, it'll convey me over until I come into Judah. That means if I can have the letters and approval of the king, I can pass through the enemy's territory. I can pass through all the hindrances and I can fulfill the service in which you've called. So imagine Nehemiah going up to a certain area. Oh, and kind of like a troll bridge, so to speak. And he said, I need passage through. And they say, you ain't allowed in here. And he'll say, wait a minute, I've got the paper to prove it. I'm allowed to pass through and you can't do nothing with me because the king says I can come through here. And see, what I'm trying to say is Nehemiah couldn't get access to certain areas, but he had to have the approval. He had to have the papers from the king. And aren't you glad that when we start out working for God, oh, I didn't know 18 years ago when I started preaching that I'd ever be at the Smoky Mountain camp meeting in 2012. But see, I had to pass through a lot of things. And when I came up to my first battle, when I came up to my first mountain, when I came up to my first hill, and the devil says, you ain't a preacher. You're just trying to do what daddy taught you. You're just trying to do what mommy's taught you. Everybody says you should be a preacher. So that's why you're a preacher. Oh, but I take him back to Beach Fork Christian Baptist Church at a revival service. Oh, the Lord had been dealing with me to preach. Oh, I didn't want to do it. I was raised in a preacher's home. I was raised in a pastor's home. And I did not want to go through all that, what they had to go through. I said, Lord, please spare me from all of that. Couldn't I just sing? Oh, I love to sing. Isn't that what you want me to do? And he says, no, I want you to preach. And so just like Gideon, I put out them fleeces. And just like Gideon, he answered every single one of them. But I still wasn't sure. I didn't want it to be Brian. Oh, I tried to talk to Mom and Dad. I tried to talk to Papa. I tried to talk to Tommy Brown, who's here tonight. And I tried to talk to his wife, Bernadette, who was my Sunday school teacher. And they said, we can't help you. Oh, we can't help you. Because we can't call you. Whoop, God has to call you. And so I got to an altar of prayer and I sold out lock, stock, and barrel. And I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll be willing to do it.
it. Oh, but if I say, Lord, just to confirm it, will you send someone that doesn't know what's going on and just give me confirmation? Whoop, that this is what I'm supposed to do. And so we had a revival at Beach Fork Church, and the evangelist that week was Dr. Calvin Ray Evans. Whoop, glory to God. Oh, and we had a hallelujah go to meet kind of service, and we started singing and shouting and running and dancing. Oh, kind of doing one of these things, you know. And so I got up and testified, and we started having a little bit of fellowship and old-fashioned love service. And Calvin Ray just came up to me under the power of the Holy Ghost and whispered in my ear, you do what God's telling you to do, Brian, and He'll be with you every step of the way. You say, Brian, did your mom and dad tell him? No way. Oh, did Tommy and Burnett tell him? No way. I'll tell you who told him. The Holy Spirit told him. And it confirmed in my mind and confirmed in my heart that the service that God had called me to do, He had anointed me and approved me to do it. So every time the devil comes at me and says, you ain't a preacher, I'll say, I'm a preacher. I've got the papers. What? Glory to God. I've got the papers to prove it.
The approval for service, but after the service came, he had to have supply.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So he had to have letters. He couldn't just go out into the woods, Junior, and start cutting down timber. He had to have approval of the king to do it. And so he said, King, if it be all right, write me letters to Asaph, that I can go into his forest and start cutting down some trees. And so whenever he walked right into Asaph's forest, and Asaph said, what are you doing here, Nehemiah? You ain't a part of this country. What are you doing out here? I've come to cut down some trees for the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Well, you ain't allowed doing that, and we can kill you if you even try to do it. The first chainsaw that starts up, I can kill you. But he said, oh, wait a minute. I've got some papers to let you know that the king has approved me cutting down the timber. And so what I'm trying to tell you tonight is, when God calls you to it, He'll help you through it. He'll supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. When we started in the ministry, and I've said this before, and I don't mean to belabor the point. You probably heard my testimony, but my dad's a pharmacist and still is, and I didn't have a need for anything in my life. Everything was taken care of and supplied. But when you get married on your own dime, things are a little bit different. Somebody say amen right there. And so God had called me into the work of God. I was singing with Mike and Teresa at that time. God said, leave an architectural firm, go to a little Southern Gospel radio station in South Shore, Kentucky. I want you to work on the morning show. So I'd get up and live in Hillsboro, Ohio. I'd drive 2.5 hours one way to work and get there by 6 a.m. Not to mention I was singing with Mike and Teresa on the weekends. I'd get to Paintsville, Kentucky, drive all night to get to Hillsboro, Ohio, sleep a little bit and get back. Why in the world did I do all that? That's crazy, wasn't it? But I knew God had called me to do it, see? And I was just doing what He called me to do. The family said, you're crazy for doing that. I had to take care of my daughter. I had to take care of my wife and supply the needs. But I'm telling you what, for the first time in my life, Wayne, I had to pray for food on my table. I had to pay for my bills to be paid. You see, because every month we'd have more month than we had money. And I didn't know how in the world I was going to be able to do it. Oh, but aren't you glad that just a few months ago, we were going through some old papers. And I found some papers to prove that God will take care of you. Because my wife started keeping a ledger, whoop, of the miracles that God had done during that time. And I said, Heather, what in the world you got there? She was crying. She said, look at what God did for us. And so we started writing down on the left side all the bills that we had, and it totaled this much, and our income and how much we had, and it was way less than what the bills covered. But then there was a third column. Oh, a gift from so-and-so, a gift from so-and-so, a gift from so-and-so. First time preaching at Rubyville Community Church. Hallelujah, glory to God. And I'm telling you what, I don't know how we did it or how we made it. I know how we did it. God said, if He's called you to it, He'll bring you through it. The approval for service, and with the service He gave supply, but for the approval and the building, He gave him papers for salvation. You see, because the whole reason why Nehemiah Jr. was going to rebuild the city, it wasn't just the city he was rebuilding. He was trying to rebuild the people. He was trying to save them from despair. He was trying to save them from certain death. But the only way he had access to get to back home was to have the papers. Ooh. I don't mean to repeat what Mike Blanton preached, but everything he said last night can fit into point number 3 right here. Because I'm telling you what, I've been to places where I couldn't go without proper documentation. Last year, me and my family went on the best vacation we ever had. We got out of the country and away from cell phones. Somebody say amen right there. Oh, it was a great vacation. We locked them up in a safe on a boat out in Mexico. And I didn't hear or see nobody except my family for about a week. And I don't mean to sound awful, but it was pretty good. It felt pretty good. And I ate and ate and ate and ate. Didn't worry about Weight Watchers in because I wasn't on Weight Watchers. That's why I'm on Weight Watchers now. I tell you what, this is the worst week in the world to be on Weight Watchers. Oh, but see, bananas are 0 points. And I'm eating so many bananas, I haven't lost any weight, but I can sure climb a tree, bless God. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, glory to God. But let me get back to preaching. We was on that wonderful cruise and we got back into port in Tampa, Florida. Oh, and see, even though I was in America and I got off the boat, I couldn't just walk off the boat like I owned the place. No, I couldn't get back home until I had proper documentation. And I went to the customs agent. He said, in order for you to get back home and on your soil, your home soil, you're going to have to provide me with proper documentation. Not just for me, but for every member of my family. And so I whipped out my passport and I gave it to the customs agent. He looked at that passport, looked at me. Looked at the passport, looked at me. I guess it looked just like me because he said, "Welcome home, Mr. Bear. Welcome back home to America." And I said, "Bless God, I finally made it back home." Oh, but someday soon and very soon, the Lord's going to come back and I'm going to split the eastern sky. And I'll walk up to that spiritual customs agent and he'll say, "In order for you to get home, you're going to have proper documentation." And you say, "Brian, do you have proper documentation?" Oh yes, I've got the papers to prove it. Because on September the 6th, 1981, at Northmoreland Christian Baptist Church, Pastor Paul Hagin's here tonight. My Uncle Gary preaching on hell, hot and furious. Boy, I got scared. I didn't want to go to hell. And on the second verse, it's just as I am. I came down that center aisle and knelt at that center altar. And I gave my heart to Jesus Christ as a 5-year-old boy. And so when I present my papers, my documentation, oh yes, there might be a lot of sin that were listed upon them. There may be a lot of failures, but thank God these papers will look just a little bit different because they'll be soaked in red blood. And when I get them to the spiritual customs agent, he'll say, "I don't see any sin. All I see is the blood of Jesus Christ." And he'll say, "Welcome home, Brian Bear. You've been faithful over a few things, and now I'll make you ruler over many." You might ask us tonight, "Brian, can I get access to heaven?" Oh, yes, you can. How? I've got the papers. Because he says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You can't just get to heaven any old way. You can't pass through this world any old way. In order to get to heaven, you're going to have proper documentation. You're going to have the proper papers. And you may present your baptismal certificate, but that ain't going to work. You may present your membership pins, but that ain't going to work. You may present your tithes receipts, but that ain't going to work. He's going to be looking for one thing, and that's the blood-soaked documents of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we have access to heaven. Can I just close with this? But years ago during the Civil War, there was a mom that was dying and she was near death. And her husband by her side, she had one last request. She said, "I love for my 2 boys to be here and I'd love to say bye to them one more time before I pass away." And so the husband did only what he knew to do. He went to the top, went to President Lincoln. So he went to the home of President Lincoln in the office of the president at that time. Started to walk through the doors and he was stopped immediately by guards. He says, "Sir, what are you doing here? What do you want?" He explained what was going on. They understood the situation. They said, "Sir, you don't understand. This is the president. You can't just walk in here. We're in the midst of a terrible war. You could be. We believe your story, but we can't trust you. We can't trust anybody. They could be killing the president." So they said, "You're not allowed." So he went back into a little courtyard there. Thought about going home, but he stayed. He just, the burden that hit him so heavy, he began to cry and sob. And in the midst of that same area was a little boy playing around, playing by a creek. And he noticed this man crying and upset. So he went over to him and he said, "Sir, are you okay?" Didn't even look at him. He said, "Son, it's all right. I'll be fine. Don't worry about it. I'm fine." He said, "Sir, is there anything I can do for you? Can I help you?" He said, "Son, don't worry. You can't do nothing for me. Just I'll be all fine. Just leave me alone." So the boy left. The man still couldn't walk. He was so weak under this burden that he was carrying. The boy came back to him and he insisted. He said, "Sir, will you please tell me what's going on?" So the gentleman began to unfold the story. How his wife was sick and just their last wish was to get her two boys off the battlefield. He said, "But I've got to see Abraham Lincoln to get that access, and I can't get to him. He's got guards and everything. I can't get to him." So the little boy said, "Follow me, sir. Follow me." So the little boy went up to that same door guarded. Stepped up to the door. Those guards just stepped aside. Walked through the door and the man just stood outside. He said, "Come on, sir. Come on." So he just kind of looked around. The guards just stood at attention. Let the man walk right on through. Down corridor and hallway, through doors, guarded every one of them. But yet, when the little boy came, they stepped aside. Let him pass right through with that gentleman. They got to the last door, President Lincoln's door. The boy just started open the door. He said, "What are you doing? What are you doing? That's the president. I don't know how in the world you got us in here already, but listen, we could get in major trouble here." "Don't worry about it, sir." He opened the door. He said, "Hey, Dad! This gentleman's got a problem. His two boys are out on the battlefield. And his wife's sick unto death. And her last wish, Dad, was to go and get her two boys off the battlefield. And I'm telling you, Dad, he's tried every way to come in here. But I've brought him to you, Dad, so will you grant his wish?" And Abraham Lincoln looked at his son, looked at the man, and saw the burden that was on him, and said, "Sir, I'll do my best. I'll get your boys, and we'll get them back before your wife dies so she can say goodbye to them." And that young man said, "You're Abraham Lincoln's son?" He said, "Oh, yes." He said, "I don't have to worry about guards because I'm his son. I can go anywhere, wherever my dad's at. I can get right to him and get access anywhere you want to go, mister." You say, "Brian, what does that have to do with me?" Oh, yes. We cannot approach God any old way we want to. We got to go through and only one way, and that's through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But aren't you glad that no matter what obstacle, what door, what hallway we can face, the Lord just walks right through there and says, "Come on, let's go to the throne and let's get some prayers answered."